look at the previous model and find out where you would have to put in stocks here. And I don't know how much you have thought. If you already have suggestions. So looking at the variables that you have here, it's not just a question of saying, okay, I put a stock somewhere. It's a question of identifying here where you have a process where you have to put in something into some container and where it takes time to do so. So looking at the variables here, where do you think that you have a process? Consider all the variables here. So in principle, in the right, the desired incident handling, the actual performance, so they are kind of givens and so on. So let's move to the left. Where do you think that there are variables that you have something, if you fix the time, it still has some sense, and to change it you have to add something? Where do you think that is there?
Mm-hmm. Because you can have an initial time spent on the response, and of course, according to, you know, the actual performance and the gap and the pressure, it will be adjusted.
Yes. So what you are saying is that this time is kind of a resource. It is not just, say, a time, and say, in so many hours, but it is the hours that you have in the company per week or something like this. Mm. Do you agree with this perspective?
Yeah, I thought the same, just by thinking of those graphs you were showing earlier.
Okay. Okay. Would you like to come?
Working hard versus working smart. I mean, one,
yeah. Yes.
It's like the same here. Mm. There are like two stocks. The time is like limited. You have to share between those two stocks.
Okay. Have you drawn a diagram already?
I have changed it to those stocks.
Okay. I would like to have a look at it.
I haven't implemented the stocks yet, but I have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Okay, but then if you have the stock, you have also to add some flows. So the question is, how do you change it? If you concentrate on this, so what I hear you say is, perhaps we should take this away. The question is how? How do we take this away? Ah, this one. Okay, so what I hear you say is we have a box here. Time, and this time is actually a time because it is hours per week or something like that. It's not hours, it is how much time you have as resource per month, per week, or whatever. So time, let me make it shorter for improvement. So as to fit it into the box, and you have time for incident response. So suppose you have 10 employees in the CCERT, and each works 40 hours, then you have per week 400 hours. And here you have some amount, say 100, and here you have 300 or whatever. So that much we agree. But then you need to transfer the hours from the one to the other. How do you do that? Please come forward and do that. Do that. Okay. Yes.
It also, but what I'm not sure about is because it also goes the other way, but not directly.
Yes.
Because when you follow the loop, you know, the more time you use on instant response, you might have less time there.
Yes. Yes. I see you have a problem. Yes. And that's something that we can do in two ways. Also, don't confuse. The upper one, time spent on improvement, and so time spent on resource, this is actually a bidirectional thing, because if you think of allocation, the pressure to handle incidents is more like this. Pressure acts on this.
Okay, yeah.
It tends to have that. But then it can go both ways.
Okay.
And a possibility is put in two arrows. That's one possibility. But then seem also the possibility of making the flow bidirectional.
Okay.
You can put this. So both possibilities are there. And I can show you how to do that with Vensim. If you look at the model, I am not sure if we have done that before, but let me see. So if we put here time spent on capability improvement. Incident capability improvement or incident response and so on. And then we have the other time spent on incident response. Okay, so you have this. Then you have a flow, time, resource, because it is not time, but it's rather time resources. If you now right click here, then you see the possibility of an arrowhead. So once more, you have to go to this part, because each has the property of the arrowhead. So if you click here, you can see it has an arrowhead, the right part, but the left part has not. So you put it. And then you are saying that this resource allocation can go both ways. actually it always goes, because it is the sign. If you draw, you remember I draw that from left to right. So that means in this direction is a positive allocation, in this direction is a negative allocation. And you can see that if you look at the equations for the stocks, click on that, it says the time spent on incident reports increases, it has a plus, or a plus is implicit, when the flow enters. Whereas, if you look at this, it has a minus sign. So because I draw that from left to right, the sign is positive when it goes from left to right, and negative in the other. But in principle, it can go both ways. And to make it visible that this is an allocation intended to go both ways, I can put that here. So that means that if I open this one, this is the exercise. So this was the model that we had, and as you can see, I have made the preparation to change the name to time resources. And this reinforcing loop, I call it the dice I've thrown, because it is kind of, if you opt for working hard, okay, then stay working hard. If you opt for working smart, you stay working smart, at least for a long time. So this is one solution. Look at it carefully, and then you can see the pressure to handle incidents manually. This is simply, or similarly, the pressure to improve capability. That is something that influences how much time that goes to the one or to the other. But the stocks are there. And now, you can see every feedback loop goes through a stock. So B1 goes from performance gap to the pressure, from the pressure to the flow allocation, from the allocation through the stock, time resources for manually handling incidents, and from there to the axial performance and so on. And since you have a stock there, that means that the stock computes what is happening next. You are adding a time step, and you don't have the circular definition. If you go through B2, B2 goes performance gap to pressure to improve capability. It goes to the flow allocation of time. It goes to the left to the stock, time resources for improving capability. Well, it goes again to a second stop. So in this case, you have two stocks. The stock B3, it's a little bit more complex to visualize because you have a bidirectional flow. A bidirectional flow means that you have to kind of go back and forward through the same row, tube. And that's not very easy to understand. So that's why, if you want to make it clearer, you could do it like this. Of course, this is not quite complete, because the two, this one and this one, they are not independent. So if you put 10 hours there, you are taking 10 hours in the other direction. Isn't? 10 ones more here means 10 hours less there. So therefore, this diagram is not completely, it's not complete. There should be a link between these two saying that they are interconnected. But then you have less problems with the B3, because it goes like this, it goes like this, it goes like this, and back. This is the loop B3, which is the cutting corners or the shortcuts, whatever. So if you wanted now to create a simulation model, this will be basically the structure that you need to use. It looks a little bit more complicated, but on the other hand, this is necessary because without the interpretation of the time resources as stocks, it will be not possible to do that. Now, if you want to exercise your modeling abilities, then you could take this model and try to implement it. And we will do so next week, but still in a more simplified version that basically says the same thing, where you have time to work smart and time to work hard. So for the time being, we don't go more in this direction. It's a little bit tricky here because of this interconnection of the resources, because you have a limited amount of time, and what goes to the left, others to the left, must be subtracted from the right, and the other way. In principle, it does the flow, but we have two different processes, so to speak. In terms of showing the feedback loops, this is clearer. But in terms of modeling, this is easier to handle, because then what you do is positive time means you get more time to handle the incidents, to work hard. If the flow allocation is negative, then you are adding time to improve the capability and taking time away from the other. So in terms of a simulation model, this is easier to do, because you don't have then to consider that the two flows actually are related. Okay, so that was the exercise. Questions? So even if it is perhaps advanced, if you want to experiment with this model and try to create it with Vensim, you will learn a lot. Okay. So, we go to the front page. So we have seen 1 and 2. Now there's a more complex exercise, which I will vary with a lecture and so on. And it's about creating a simulation model of an archetype. So an archetype looks like a simple thing, but when you want to create a simulation model, you need to add more information, and this exercise is an idea to help you understand the processes needed. I am going to invent a number of things, because in reality, we will work with a company to get data for the company. Here I will pretend that I have the data, but I am going to invent it. Still, it's kind of being realistic as to how it could be. (Clears throat) So here I say the point. The point with an archetype is it's always very simplified, high level. When you want to create a simulation of a real case, you have to enter into the details of the case. And you can have two archetypes that look equal, say an underachievement archetype. In practice, they can be quite different in details, and the simulation results, even if you have a reinforcing loop and a balancing loop, you don't get the same simulations. You get the effect of the loops, kind of similar things, but not exactly the same. So we go back to the archetype that you have seen several times. How do you convince your management and organization that security is being neglected? You can use the archetype, but you could also show simulations. So, the story is, the company wants to grow, so they are making throughput. That means, say, Statoil is producing oil and gas, that gives them a surplus of money. And this money has to be reinvested. They have to pay the payrolls of the people. They will look for new wells. So they will do seismic investigations and so on. And the idea is that the whole thing will lead to more throughput that allow them to invest and reinvest. That's the way of life for the companies. So it is like a big bank account where you put the money there and you are getting interest on that. But in the case of the bank account, you are getting the interest in a passive way. Somebody is taking your money and lending it to Statoil or whatever, and Statoil is paying back with interest, and then you get your part to share of the interest. But the way this works is by putting the investment to work in somewhere. Now, very often, owing to not sufficient knowledge and understanding, these investments occur at the expense of security investments. If you don't have enough security resources, security is in the shade or the shadow, and security incidents will damage throughput. So you are getting less growth than you expected because you are forgetting about this essential part. And then you should consider investing in security resources. We call it security for growth's sake. Okay. So we want to create a stock and flow version. And first we consider just the reinforcing loop. Then we add the unintended consequence, the balancing loop. And then in the end we create a solution archetype. Okay? So how do we create the intended reinforcing loop? Here is a proposal. I'd like you to read that and tell me what you think of that, or if you have an alternative proposal for doing that. I try here to simplify things. Does it make sense to you? It's a very simple thing. So just a few explanations. The first part is like saying the company is like a bank account, only that the interest rate is high. Of course, in reality, you don't have a fixed interest rate. So we are making here a very simple assumption, is say this company is growing at 8% per year, so to speak, for several years, if no incidents happen. That's basically what I am saying in the top. In the second one, it's saying that the idea is to consider simplify security. There are many aspects of security, but we put everything together. We have done that before. We have called something the security level. And that's a number between 0 and 1. 0 is the worst thing. Everything is exposed. 1, it's perfectly protected. And this can improve. You have a security gain in some way. That means you have to train people, buy equipment, and so on and so on. And it will also decay. We use the nice word obsolescence. So this is investments in security, things you are doing to improve the security. This is what happens over time. The security that you have decays. You firewall. If you don't maintain it, improve it, becomes less good because there will be new forms of attacks and so on. So you have all the time both processes. The improvements you are doing to your security in terms of training, software, hardware, you name it. And the decay in security because processes are no longer good enough, because perhaps software doesn't work properly, hardware, whatever. So that is basically what it is. And then the idea to connect this as an unintended loop is if you are concentrating on growing the company, then you are neglecting this part. Okay? So what do you think? Does it make sense to you, or do you have a simpler idea? I am trying to keep it very simple. And I am saying that again, smart people think very simple. The key of solving problems is simplify, simplify, simplify. It is a myth that there are guys there who solve things in the most difficult way. Well, those guys exist, but they are very rare. There was a Norwegian Nobel Prize winner, Lars Unsager. He was famous for really climbing the mountains from the north side and the steepest way and so on. But even he, as Unsager, is very famous because he solved a very complex problem that nobody could solve. It was a model. He was such a good guy. He studied chemistry, but he excelled both in chemistry and physics. And when the Nobel Prize Committee called, and the wife of Unsager went to the phone and said, "Congratulations, your husband has got the Nobel Prize," then she asked, "In chemistry or in physics?" And really, he could have got a Nobel Prize in both. So he was actually a chemist, and he is ashamed for the NTNU, or actually it was NTH as it was called at that time, Norwegian University of Science and Technology. They are very ashamed because Unsager was there as a young guy, and he had published a paper on irreversible thermodynamics in one of the best journals of the world, is for physics, Physical Review. And then he went with that to his professor and asked if he could get a PhD for that. And the professor read that and said, nah, it's not good enough. No, you cannot. And for that paper, he later got the Nobel Prize. So you can get a Nobel Prize, but that's not good enough to get a PhD in Trondheim. Anyhow, Onsager solved a problem. It was posed by a German physicist called Ising. Americans called him Ising, but he was German, so his name was Ising. He had a very simple model of magnetism. He assumed that a body simply consisted of a grid of points of equal distance, and in each of these grids there was a small magnet that could either go up or down, like a spin of an electron. And that was, the model was very interesting. Ising couldn't solve it exactly. And then for many, many years, a lot of physicists tried to solve that, and they couldn't. And then one time, I think it was in 1945, shortly after the Second World War, Onsager in a conference saying, by the way, the solution to the Ising model is, and he wrote some equation in there. And everybody knew that if Onsager wrote an equation, say that's the solution, that it was the solution. So they asked, please write it up for us. And he wrote it up, and it was a huge paper, I think 80 pages of calculations, extremely complex. So in the Ising model, you will have a lot of points. Actually, it was a model for a two-dimensional magnet. It goes in all directions. In three dimensions, it's even more complicated. Today, we can create films that are one molecule high, so this can be tested empirically. And for each of these, you had something that was up or down or whatever, everywhere. And he solved that, and in principle, there are infinite points and so on. But when you solve it for infinite points, you have to solve for a last point number of points and then go to the limit of infinite. Well, Onsager, he first solved it for 4 points, 2.2, by hand. That was not so difficult. Then he did it by hand for 3.3, and that was still possible, and he then did it for 4 times 4, with the view of seeing, okay, can I see a pattern in solving this? And he understood, yes, the method, he had to develop a method that would work no matter how big the grid was. So he did simplify. He did simplify. And all the time is simplify, simplify, simplify. Let me give you another example. Take a chessboard. It is 8 times 8. Okay? And you know, at the chessboard, you have white, and then you have black. And they alternate. Okay, then suppose you take a saw and cut some corners, this and this. Take them away. And then the question is it possible to saw that in pieces that are like domino stones? Is it possible to cut this and in the end you have, originally you have 64 squares, so you have 32 possible domino stones. You have taken 2 away. Is it possible to have that in some way that you have 31 domino stones, 62 squares, Okay. It's kind of complex, the answer. But let's make it very simple. Don't take 8 times 8. Take 2 times 2. And then you see it's not possible. So, whenever you get a problem, see if you can simplify it. If it's big, make it small. If you have many elements, try to keep the essence of the problem with as few elements as possible. And that's also what I am proposing here, but you should try and see if you can make it even simpler. Also, when we go now through the solutions here, it would be nice if you can find a way of even making it simpler, the Venzi model and so on. Okay? So, what happened here? Okay, that was the problem. We need now the solution. I thought I had it with me. No. Yes, but I don't think. Yes, I think I have the models, but I don't know what happened here. Why they are not here? Yeah, I think I have them at least here. Let me see. Class 2. Here it is. I didn't copy everything, so let me see. Type. I thought I had copied everything to the desktop. I know that's. Still, let me see. I'm still confused. I kind of missed that. Where is that? Do you see that? In front? I have it, yes. Okay. Then I have uploaded. Okay. But, okay. Okay. So, just to, actually we have, this is stopping the recording. So, we take a 15-minute break and then I continue here. Okay. So, I had uploaded that, but I thought I had a PowerPoint version as well. We take a 15-minute break now. Okay. So I hope I am